Welcome to another episode of our NCLEX review series. In this podcast, we continue to bring you valuable materials to help you prepare for your exam. Enjoy.
Perioperative care. Regardless of the type of surgery, clients often come to the surgical event with some anxiety and fear. Their previous experience with surgery and its outcome can have a significant effect on their response to subsequent surgical experiences. The nurse plays a major role in ensuring the safety of the client throughout the perioperative experience. Teaching will also be an important part of the nurse-client interaction. Preoperative and intraoperative care. Assessment and analysis. The nurse's assessment of the preoperative client should include a review of the history of the client's current health problems and factors that may influence surgery, anesthesia, or recovery. Assessment is used to identify potential health problems and to evaluate the client's understanding of the disease and expected treatment plan. In addition, the nurse should evaluate the client's emotional state and coping skills. A comprehensive list of medications, including herbal and vitamin supplements and over-the-counter agents, should be performed to allow for safety in medication reconciliation. On the day of surgery, the nurse should assess vital signs and general physical status and record and report any deviations to the healthcare provider. The healthcare provider should also be notified if the client is experiencing anxiety or expresses a sense of doom. The nurse completes the preoperative checklist, such as consent form, preoperative tests, and identification and allergy bands. Any prosthetics, such as dentures, contact lenses, and wigs, should be removed. Sequential compression devices should be applied as ordered. In addition, the nurse should complete the insertion of any tubes as ordered, such as nasogastric tube, indwelling urinary catheter, intravenous line, and should administer prescribed preoperative medications, for example, prophylactic antibiotic within 1 hour before surgery, anti-anxiety agents, sedatives, opioid analgesics, anticholinergics. It is important for the nurse to implement appropriate safety procedures following the administration of preoperative medications. If the client is a child, the parents should remain with the child. The parents should be allowed to participate or administer the bath or other preparations as they are able and as are safe. Planning and implementation. Appropriate hygiene should be implemented, and the nurse should have the client void. The nurse should witness the signing of the consent form by the client and review information included in the healthcare provider's explanation of the surgery. It is essential for the nurse to inform the healthcare provider if the client seems confused about the consent or the surgical procedure. The nurse should also ensure that identification bands are in place and accurate. At a variety of times, the nurse ensures verification of the client's identity, understanding of the surgical procedure, and the surgical site involved. The nurse must follow the agency policy to ensure that the operative site is identified and marked, and explain to the client that he or she will be asked to verify self, procedure, and operative site numerous times as a precaution. The nurse explains all procedures, provides the reasons for them, and explains what to expect in the operating room, post-anesthesia unit, and/or intensive care units, including anticipated equipment, such as the PCA pump. The nurse should allow the client and family a time to ask questions about the procedures and surgery. This is especially important if the client is a child. Time should be provided to allow and encourage ventilation of feelings about the diagnosis and surgery, and to contact or provide a spiritual counselor if desired. Teaching about promoting respirations postoperatively, such as diaphragmatic breathing, coughing, incentive spirometry, splinting, and turning, and exercises that promote circulation after surgery, such as leg exercises, such as dorsiflexion, plantar flexion, eversion, and inversion, ambulation routines, and isometric exercises should be reviewed. The nurse should advise the client to expect some discomfort after surgery and teach the importance of requesting medication for pain or using patient-controlled analgesia, PCA, before pain becomes severe. The nurse verifies that history, physical examination results, recent laboratory tests, and the chest X-ray report are entered on the client's record, and that all members of the health team have been informed of the client's allergies and other health problems, and then prominently marks the client's clinical record. Implementation of all preoperative preparation orders, such as enemas, douches, intestinal antibiotics for bowel surgery, and antibiotics, should be performed. The client should understand that dietary restrictions are implemented to prevent aspiration when receiving general anesthesia. For example, refraining from eating a heavy meal 8 hours before surgery, a light breakfast up to 6 hours before surgery, and clear liquids 2 to 3 hours before surgery. The nurse should check with the anesthesiologist for specific instructions because some healthcare providers may require nothing by mouth after midnight. In the operative suite, the nurse assumes the role of client advocate by identifying the client and operative site with members of the operative team. The nurse completes the preoperative checklist and performs skin preparation, such as shaving and scrubs used for orthopedic surgery, as ordered, applies monitoring devices as needed, and inserts a urinary retention catheter if ordered. Ambulatory surgical clients often remain aware during most of the stay in the operating room because local anesthetics frequently are used, so the nurse may need to allay client fears. The nurse then positions the client and drapes the client for surgery. Evaluation and outcomes. Outcomes and evaluation for the preoperative and intraoperative period include the client's ability to verbalize fears concerning the operative process. The client should be able to demonstrate an understanding of preoperative teaching and return demonstration as appropriate. The client should also verbalize understanding of postoperative interventions, especially with regard to the maintenance of respiration and pain management. Finally, the client should remain free from injury. General nursing care of clients during the postoperative period, assessment and analysis. Assessment of the client's airway and oxygenation status is of primary concern in the postoperative period. Baseline vital signs, breath sounds, level of consciousness, tubes for placement and patency, and drainage for characteristics should be evaluated. The extent and quality of urinary output, as well as any clinical manifestations of hemorrhage, should be assessed. The surgical wound should be assessed and the extent of wound healing noted. Early identification of complications is also important. Planning and implementation. In the immediate postoperative period, care is provided in the post-anesthesia care unit, PACU. Intervention is focused on maintaining the airway and respirations. The client is positioned on the side with the neck slightly extended to prevent aspiration and accumulation of mucous secretions. If indicated, the artificial airway and oral cavity are suctioned to remove secretions. Oxygen is administered as ordered or needed, and oxygenation saturation is monitored. An artificial airway remains in place until the gag reflex returns. The airway should be suctioned before extubation to clear secretions as needed. The nurse should assess for respiratory distress after extubation, which is evidenced by restlessness, confusion, dyspnea, stridor, decreased oxygen saturation, or the inability to expectorate. The rate and rhythm of respiration and symmetry of chest movement, breath sounds, pulse oximeter, behavior, and color of mucous membranes should be assessed frequently. The client is encouraged to cough and deep breathe as soon as possible. Heart rate and rhythm are monitored, and blood pressure should be assessed at regular intervals, for example, approximately every 5 minutes initially, and then every 15 minutes. Peripheral circulation is evaluated by identifying color, temperature, presence of pulses, motor and sensory function, and capillary refill. The nurse should monitor for signs and symptoms of hemorrhage by assessing blood pressure for hypotension, checking the pulse rate for tachycardia, and observing and measuring wound drainage. When clients have had surgery of the respiratory tract, the nurse should observe for frequent swallowing or expectoration of blood. When clinical indications of hemorrhage are identified, they should be reported to the healthcare provider immediately. Venous thromboembolism prophylaxis is implemented, such as administration of prescribed anticoagulants, sequential compression devices, ankle pumping exercises, and early ambulation if permitted. The client's neurological status is monitored, including level of consciousness, pupillary blink and gag reflexes, and motor and sensory status of extremities. The location and size of the wound, and the color, odor, amount, and consistency of drainage are assessed. The type of drainage, for example, serous, clear, watery, purulent, thick, yellow, green, tan, or brown, serosanguineous, pale, red, watery, mixture of clear and red fluid, or sanguineous, bright red, indicating active bleeding, should be observed. The nurse should check dependent areas because drainage flows by gravity. Evaluation of drainage on dressings is ongoing, and the nurse should circle the drainage on the dressing, and mark the time and date to allow for objective assessment. Postoperative dressings are reinforced because healthcare providers generally perform the first dressing change. The nurse should teach the client how to protect the integrity of the surgical incision. For example, instruct how to sit up in bed, how to splint the incision, and how to maintain a clean, dry dressing. The nurse must protect the client if wound edges separate, dehiscence, or abdominal organs extrude through the incision, evisceration. The patient should be placed in a supine position, the site covered with a sterile towel moistened with normal saline, and the healthcare provider notified. The nurse should maintain patency of tubing, such as gravity, negative pressure, installation, or irrigation as indicated, attach tubing to appropriate collection containers, and maintain negative pressure in portable wound drainage systems. For example, empty when half full and compress before closing port. Maintain surgical asepsis. Drainage should be monitored for amount and color. IV therapy is maintained as ordered and INO recorded accurately. Electrolytes should also be monitored. The nurse should meet the client's comfort and emotional needs. Pain should be assessed for location, intensity, duration, precipitating factors, and effectiveness of pain management. The client should be medicated as prescribed before pain becomes severe to reduce pain and increase postoperative activities such as breathing, coughing, and mobility. The nurse should reinforce teaching about how to use a PCA pump and answer questions as honestly and simply as possible. In the later postoperative period, the client must continue to be protected from injury and have pain alleviated. The client should be encouraged to turn frequently, deep breathe and cough, and use an incentive spirometer to prevent development of atelectasis or hypostatic pneumonia. The nurse should auscultate for diminished breath sounds in lower lobes, which may indicate atelectasis. The client should perform range of motion and isometric exercises and ambulate early to prevent phlebitis, paralytic ileus, and venous stasis. Should these be noted, the healthcare provider must be notified. Patency of tubes must be maintained, and the nurse should employ the use of surgical aseptic techniques when changing dressings or as necessary when irrigating tubing or emptying portable wound drainage systems to prevent infection. The nurse should monitor I&O and watch for signs of dehydration and electrolyte imbalances. As soon as possible, the client should be encouraged to void. The client must void within 8 to 12 hours after surgery, or a urinary catheter may be inserted. Constipation is prevented with fluid, fiber, and exercise. The nurse should observe for abdominal distension. To provide for nutritional needs, the nurse maintains prescribed IV therapy to ensure adequate water and electrolytes, monitors parenteral nutrition, and gradually increases oral intake as permitted. Regarding diet therapy, the need for protein is increased due to protein losses and anabolism of recovery and tissue healing. Requirements are approximately 1.2 to 2 grams per kilogram per day. Calories should be provided in adequate amounts to supply energy and spare protein for tissue building. Vitamin and mineral needs increase after surgery, especially zinc, as it increases strength of wound healing, with 4 to 6 milligrams per day recommended. Vitamin C is required for collagen formation, with 500 to 1,000 milligrams per day recommended. The ambulatory surgical client can be discharged when stable, has retained foods, and has voided. The nurse should reinforce postoperative teaching and discharge planning with client and family and evaluate understanding of teaching. The nurse should provide discharge instructions, including wound care, hydration, nutrition, prevention and management of constipation, exercise, pain management, coughing and deep breathing, and the need for follow-up care and keeping postoperative appointments. Evaluation and outcomes. Appropriate outcomes and evaluation for the postoperative client are that the client is able to void, is free of respiratory complications and clinical indicators of infection, and reports relief of pain. In addition, the integrity of the surgical incision should be maintained. The client's fluid status should be in balance, and the client should return to an expected volume of urinary output and pattern of bowel function. The client should also demonstrate the ability to care for self and cope with changes resulting from surgery. Now we'll practice an NCLEX-style question. A postoperative client calls a nurse and reports that during a sneeze, a popping sensation was felt in the incision. When assessing the incision, the nurse identifies that the edges have separated and abdominal contents are protruding. What is the nurse's priority action? 1. Take the client's vital signs. 2. Call the healthcare provider. 3. Hold the client's food and fluids. Or 4. Cover the wound with a sterile saline-soaked dressing. The correct answer is 4. All of the actions are appropriate, but the first action is to protect the wound and organs, so a saline-soaked gauze should be placed over the wound. The healthcare provider should be notified and the vital signs assessed. The client should remain on bed rest. Let's try another practice question. A nurse is admitting a client to the room from the post-anesthesia care unit, PACU. What is the nurse's initial action after the client is transferred to the bed? 1. Assess the vital signs. 2. Administer pain medication. 3. Check tubes and drains for patency. Or 4. Ensure the patency of the client's airway. The correct answer is 4. The priority nursing action is to ensure patency of the client's airway. Assessing vital signs is next, followed by checking tubes and drains. The administration of pain medication may be necessary after a complete assessment and review of healthcare provider orders and prescriptions.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating. We wish you all the best in the coming examination. See you next time.